Would you turn with me, please, to the passage we read in the New Testament, the second epistle of Paul to the Thessalonians in chapter 3. 2 Thessalonians at chapter 3, and as the Lord would help us, we might consider together verse 3. 2 Thessalonians 3, verse 3, "But the Lord is faithful, who shall establish you and keep you from evil." The Lord is faithful, who shall establish you and keep you from evil. People often turn out to be unreliable. We find that often people, some we can't trust what they say, others, well, you look to them to help you and they let you down. It's a common experience that we find that often you can't really rely on people. And that was true not only for our day, but the Apostles' day as well. And here we find Paul warning those young believers who are at Thessalonica not just to accept everyone and trust what anyone says. He warns them that there are those who are not faithful in their allegiance to the Lord. You think of how there were Jews who opposed Paul when he was in Thessalonica and caused trouble for him and for the young church that was there. They opposed Paul because they opposed the gospel that he preached. Well, they're obviously to beware of that sort of people. Pray, it says, for us, that we may be delivered from unreasonable and wicked men. For all men have not faith. That was true in his day, and it's true in our day, and in some areas that is a real need, that we pray that God's people might be delivered from those who are unreasonable and wicked and oppressing them. We know that Paul also was warning the church in Thessalonica of false teachers, and he warns of this person, a man of sin, who was going to arise and who would lead people astray, an apostate from the truth. And we can see this coming to fulfillment, this description in chapter 2, in the rise of the papacy in the time of the 3rd and 4th and 5th century. Well, there were those who could so easily turn them away from the truth, and he's warning them about that. What was the problem? They did. All men have not faith. They're unreliable then, if they don't have the truth, if they're not trusting the Lord. You cannot rely upon them. And having mentioned these sort of people, he draws a contrast to encourage them. Pray for us that we may be delivered from unreasonable and wicked men. For all men have not faith, but the Lord is faithful, who shall establish you and keep you from evil. Well, there are many who oppose the truth today, and some of them, sadly, are to be found within the church, false preachers with no gospel who have turned away from the truth. But we know that even for God's people, at times, they aren't as reliable as they should be. Perhaps you get discouraged, but not only think of the power of those who do not have faith, but also you think of how even those who you're looking to be a help and a strength to the church seem to let you down. Well, these things do happen. But where are we to find encouragement? What are we to remember? The Lord is faithful, and that we can rely on the Lord. And so the words of our text, they're a comfort to the believer. A comfort to the believer, encouraging us to remain faithful and have confidence in the Lord. We might also say that there should even be an encouragement to anyone who is unconverted to come to the Lord. They may be put off by the inconsistency of other believers, but they are not the Saviour. Christ is the Saviour. Remember that, and therefore trust in him, for the Lord is faithful, and he is able to establish you and keep you from evil. Well, let's open up these words, and we will notice two things. We have a contrasting declaration, the Lord is faithful, and we have a comforting declaration, who shall establish you and keep you from evil. First of all, we have a contrasting declaration, but the Lord is faithful. Let us remember, whatever others are like, the Lord is faithful. Now, what way can we say the Lord is faithful? Well, first of all, surely he is faithful in himself. He is faithful in himself. In other words, we're to remember that the Lord is one who always acts consistently with his own character and with who he claims to be. That can't be truly said of people, but it can be said of the Lord that he always acts consistently with his own character. He cannot deny himself, is how Paul could put it to Timothy in 2 Timothy 3:13. And whether we think of the Lord as the divine Saviour or as the God-man Redeemer and the one who was truly a man, the Lord is faithful. How unlike people around us. Can it be said of people around us that they are not faithful? They are constantly denying what they are. We're all creatures. All around us are people who are creatures of God, dependent on God. And yet what do? They live as if there is no God. They want their own autonomy. They pretend that they are free. And they will not rely on God, and they will not look to his law to be a rule for their life. They live in denial of what they are. Creatures dependent on God, accountable to God. It is a fiction that people have can be free from God, that they can have their own autonomy. There is no such thing, and they are living a lie to pretend such things. They're denying themselves. And more than that, they are denying, for example, that they have a never-dying soul. How many people are living for the moment? Let us eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow we die. But that's not true. Because although physical death could happen at any time, that is not the end. We have never dying souls. And if we're to live for the moment, to live just for the present enjoyment, to live for the latest bit of excitement or party or festive time, to live for earthly things is foolishness. It's a denial of what they are, and therefore can never truly give peace and joy and contentment and happiness. You think of how people are so unfaithful. They are content to tell you, well, I'm happy to believe my truth and you can have your truth. Despite the fact that my truth is different from your truth, that doesn't matter. This is what I want to believe. And the very same people who live in denial of the fact that there is such a thing as truth are the very same people who get aggrieved if they find out someone's been telling them lies. You see, deep down they know there is truth, and that my truth and your truth is a fiction. Unfaithful and unbelieving. Living in denial. Man is unfaithful, denying what he is. But can't we even see that often God's people can seem that way? Isn't it true every time we sin? As God's people, we are living inconsistently as believers. We're called to be holy, called to be faithful, called to be followers of God. We're professing that we love God. And we know we're called to love him with all our heart and soul and strength and mind. And yet the reality is that everything we do is tainted and corrupted by sin. Don't we feel often, what an inconsistent person I am. But the Lord is faithful. There's the contrast. He's faithful to himself. He is always the same. He is faithful to himself. He cannot deny what he is. You see that with the Lord Jesus and his life on earth. The Lord was one who was faithful to himself. He was one who was constantly dependent on the Father. He was one who obeyed him gladly. To thy will I take delight, O thou my God that art. He was one who lived with his eye to eternity and who loved the truth and only spoke the truth. He loved God with all his heart. He loved his neighbour as himself. As a man, he was a perfect man. And his meat was to do the will of him that sent him. And as we think of the life of Christ, don't we see one who was a most beautiful, a most noble, a most perfect, a most faithful one? Do you want to measure yourself with someone else? As to how well you're doing, measure yourself by him, the ultimate standard of holiness. That will convict you of your sin. But as you see his beauty and his perfections as a man, he should draw you to him to trust him. But if you think of him as the one who is the God-man, the divine Saviour, well, his being, wisdom, power, holiness, justice, goodness, and truth, he lived according to the truth. He was faithful and is faithful. He is reliable. He is predictable. He is one that we can trust. What a contrast that was for the people in Thessalonica between that and their gods, because people in Thessalonica, they had been converted from paganism. And in paganism, you had all these gods and they were untrustworthy, they were changeable. How different is God? He is one who remains the same, one who is reliable. One therefore, who rather than creating fear, and a slavish fear, rather draws forth our confidence and our trust. He's one who will never let his own down, because he remains the same. Faithful to himself, well, that should encourage us to have all our confidence in him. But more than that, you'll notice he is faithful to his word. He is faithful to his word. You think of how the Lord has given us his word. We're told, for example, that the promises of God are yea and amen in Christ Jesus. Paul, in writing to the Corinthians, says to the believers there, don't be like those who are sort of yes and no. You're never really too sure where you are with them, and if you can take their word and what they say and rely on it. He's saying, well, God's not like that. God is one who is perfectly trustworthy, and his promises are yea and amen in Christ Jesus. Look at that in chapter 5 of verse 24 of the first letter. Faithful is he that called you, who also will do it, the faithfulness of the Lord. What does that mean? It means he keeps his word. So you and I can take the promises of God, and what can we do with them? We can plead them. We can plead them with confidence. How many people have made promises to you? How many promises have you made that you have broken? As they have broken their promises, but God's not like that. He has never breaks any promises. And isn't that the thing that makes his word so precious? And isn't that one reason why we love to study it? Because we know it is a reliable word. The psalmist in Psalm 119 can speak of the faithfulness of God's word. Well, let us rejoice that we have those promises given to us by the one who is faithful. He'll keep those promises. Remember that and remind God of that when you are reading the promises and taking them to heart and seeking those promises for yourself. Well, Lord, thou hast said, do as thou hast said. Show that thou art the faithful God. Bless me with those things promised for the sake of thy dear Son. Faithful to his word, to his promises. But yes, also notice faithful to his threats. He fulfills his threats. How many people forget that? God is not a man that he should lie, or the son of a man that he should repent, as he said. And shall he not do it? When you see God threatening judgment, when you see him warning the sinner, the soul that sinneth it shall die, don't be thinking, well, he doesn't really mean it. He means what he says. And when there is no execution of that threat, it's not because God has changed his mind. He still remains opposed to the person who is in sin and going on in rebellion. And he will execute that judgment. But what's happened? The reason there is not the execution of the judgment is because of a change in man. And so Nineveh, Jonah goes there. Yet 40 days, Nineveh shall be destroyed. But it wasn't destroyed. But why? Was it because God had changed his mind? Rather, it was because the Ninevites had repented, and therefore the threat which was upon the sinful city in rebellion against God no longer had need to be executed, because the threat had done the work that it was intended to do in having man changing his behaviour. What does that mean? Well, it's a warning that if you're out of Christ, if you're running away from him and refusing him, God's word stands against you. The word of the Lord is against you. And there's a word that will cry out against you and call for your condemnation. God has not changed what he has said, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. But if you're running away from him and not believing him, then you will not share in that life and salvation. So the Lord is faithful to himself, and he is faithful to his word. We might also notice that the Lord is faithful in his relationships. Faithful in his relationships. The Lord is faithful. you think of it, unfaithfulness threatens a relationship. In a marriage, is a husband or wife unfaithful? Well, you know, the marriage is on the rocks. There might be a way of stabilizing things, but it's endangered because of unfaithfulness. Think of what happens when nations break their alliances. It was very true in the days of the Old Testament when basically you had empires, and if you had conquered a nation, you were threatening other nations. Unless you behave and you pay the money to us and pay your taxes to us and behave yourself, you're going to be punished. Well, where people broke their agreements and alliances with other nations, it caused problems. And, of course, that's still, to an extent, true today. Unfaithfulness threatens relationships. Or what of your friendships? When a friend proves unfaithful, well, the friendship, there's tension there. And is likely to end. Well, what are we told here? The Lord is faithful. Well, is he not faithful? As a Christ, he was faithful to the Father. To thy will I take delight, O thou my God that art. Have you given me a command? I will fulfill that command. And that's what he did. And at the end of his life, what does he say? I have finished the work thou hast given me to do. I've not done a slipshod job. I haven't missed out certain things. I have fulfilled that work. And he prays that he will be blessed and rewarded with all those blessings promised to him in the covenant because he had been faithful. And that's why he went to the cross. Out of love to the Father and love to sinners. For the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross, despising the shame. And he is the same faithful Lord. As he was faithful to the Father in the execution of his work, so he remains faithful, and that should encourage us. It means, for example, he will be and remain the faithful prophet. What do you and I need? Him to teach us and to lead us in the right way. Can we rely on his word? Well, he is faithful. We can rely upon it. And can we look to the Spirit to help us and to instruct us and to apply the word and to show us how it applies to our life? Well, we can, because the Lord is faithful. And having given us his word and preserved it down through the years, he has promised the help of the Spirit to teach us and to guide us through life. He's faithful, and he remains for his people, a faithful prophet. That should encourage us. Will there also be a faithful priest? Yes, he's given us life. But he continues that work. We were thinking of that this morning. The work of intercession. Of how he pleads the merits of his sacrifice. Presenting the sacrifice. The once for all sacrifice to the Father. What does that mean? It means you get many needs. But you can have confidence that the Lord will supply those needs. There is a faithful high priest. He will plead the merits of his death as a reason why you should be blessed with all those blessings of salvation that you need for life and salvation, that the Father will equip you with all that you need for life in this world and for salvation, that he will strengthen you in your weakness, that he will ultimately bring you to glory. And you can be sure he will do it. And you can have confidence in him. Because he is faithful. How often you'll say to someone, I'll pray for you, and you've forgotten. He's not like that. He is faithful. And isn't he also a faithful king? We need someone who will guide us and protect us, who will keep us and who will be a faithful ruler over us, applying the truth and showing us how we are to live. Well, you think of how on earth he kept his disciples. He can pray in his great high priestly prayer, Lord, I have kept them in this world. You think of how he could say in Gethsemane, I have kept them. And he's praying for his disciples that they might be given freedom, though he himself will be arrested. He's acting in a faithful way, protecting them. And friend, he'll keep on doing that. Who knows what difficulties you might be led into, but he will remain faithful. You can have confidence in him. Is he not a faithful elder brother? One who cares for his church and loves his church. A faithful shepherd. Think of all the different imagery that there is in Scripture of the relationship of Christ and his church. He's faithful. Let that comfort you and encourage you. How good to know that he will not leave his people in the Lord. And for all who trust in him, it's wonderful to hear of his faithfulness. And there's two comforts especially noted in our text. So we'll notice that secondly. It's not only a contrasting declaration, there is a comforting declaration. God is faithful. The Lord is faithful. He shall establish you and keep you from evil. You see, Paul here was writing to believers who had been blessed in many ways. They had peace with God. They had a good conscience because their sin was dealt with. They'd been justified through faith. And they have the promise of God being with them and blessing them now, and the promise of glory, eternal life to come. And yet at the same time, it wasn't easy. You have Jews who are attacking them in Thessalonica. There are those who are Gentiles, the pagans in Thessalonica. They're opposing them as well. There's much opposition to the gospel. There is false teaching. Satan is attacking them. Look at problems. Paul here is encouraging them. Yes, there may be difficulties, but remember this. The Lord is faithful. He shall establish you and keep you from evil. Perhaps we might apply that to someone who as yet has not come to Christ. And often it is with those who are seeking the Lord, they can think, well, yes, I would like to be a believer and I am drawn, but I could never keep up the profession of being a believer in this world. I don't have the strength that others have. Now, of course, that's wrong thinking, because it's basically losing sight of the fact that no one has any strength, spiritual strength of themselves. Salvation is all of God's doing and all of grace. And what's Paul doing here is pointing us to the Lord. He's saying, yeah, you're going to have difficulties. You can never keep this up of yourself. But the Lord is faithful, who shall establish you and keep you from evil. Look to him. So two things he will do. He shall establish you. He will establish or establish you. The word establish means to stand by someone's side and or to strengthen someone. so that they might remain firm. You think of how you may be in a situation where you have to speak, and if someone's standing with you, as it helped you, it gives you confidence. And the very presence of that person there gives a stability, a firmness, helps to establish you. Well, that is a sort of picture that we have here. He will establish you. Hasn't he promised to establish us? Has he not promised his present help? He's a present help in the day of trouble. He'll be with you. He'll be with you. You're going to go through difficulties, but he'll be with you. He has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Therefore we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do unto me. What encouragement to know I'm not my own. The Lord will be with me. And if he's with me, at my side, he will establish me, he will strengthen me, he will give a firmness to me in the difficulties of life. Has he not also promised inward strength and grace? How many battles you have to face? How many trials you'll have to pass through? Often you will ask yourself the question, will I be able to have the strength to cope with what is going to come my way? Well, he will strengthen you. He will establish you. He will enable you to win the victory. Yes, there are storms in life. There are false doctrine opposing us. There are many temptations, but he is the one who will strengthen us. And that means when the storm comes, yes, if we are rooted and grounded in him, we will remain firm. We'll not be like that building built in the sand. We'll not be like the tree which, because it doesn't have any root, is easily blown over by the wind and the storms and difficulties of life. We will be strong and firm. He'll give us grace to stand. And what we need, surely, are clearer views of himself, that we might have a better grip in him, that we might be rooted and grounded more and more in him. And then we're protected, because we realise, I'm weak, but he is faithful. He can establish me. And more than that, he will keep you from evil. There's a second comfort. He will not only strengthen you, he will keep you from evil. Now, in the original, it is not evil, but the evil, which certainly suggests that he's referring to the evil one. And that certainly would fit the context where in chapter 2, there is the a prophecy of someone who was going to arise, the man of sin who would oppose God, even within the church, a usurper who tries to take the place of God. And you think of how we see that fulfilled in Romanism with the Pope of Rome, who sits in the temple of God, claiming, making claims to be God. And some of his titles are blasphemous. And at the end of the day, his coming is after the working of Satan with all power and signs and wonders. And so this man of sin is Christ's, is Satan's great masterpiece, his best effort, as it were, he can do to deceive the nations by a false anti Christianity, this perversion of Christianity, with so much truth, but laced with poison, to lead the unsuspecting astray. There's Satan. You think of his activity and the strength that he has. He's only a creature, but, well, he is a strong creature. We wrestle not against principalities and powers, but against spiritual wickedness in high places. And you think of how Satan was the one who was stirring up the opposition to Paul when he was in Thessalonica and had to leave there quickly. And that was true of many other things. See, there are people. And they're still there in Thessalonica. They've become believers. And they're aware of their own weakness. And they must fear at times, will they capitulate? Will they give up? Will they be able to remain strong and faithful? Oh, how good it is to know that my perseverance in the faith doesn't rely on me, but rather it relies on the Lord who is faithful, who can keep me and has promised to keep me from the evil one. In other words, I might fear that I will let go of Christ, but he will never let go of his people. He will garrison his people. He will keep you. He will guard you. And amongst other things, surely that means that he will protect us from unbearable evil. Who knows what trials and problems you and I may be called to go through in coming days and months. But is it not good to know that the Lord is faithful and he'll not allow us to be tempted beyond what we can endure? And therefore, he will protect us from unbearable temptation. And yes, there's times when he may allow you to go through trials and troubles. But what does he say? When thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee. And through the rivers, they will not overflow thee. He's faithful. And therefore, he will keep you either out of the clutches, away from the evil one, or protect you even when you seem surrounded by those dangers and those difficulties. And it's because he is faithful, we know that he will do this. He shall establish you and keep you from evil. If he wasn't faithful, would he really do it? Yes, he will do it, because he is faithful. What does that ensure? It means that he who has begun the good work in his people will complete it to the day of Christ. If you're a believer, there's a reason to give thanks for the faithfulness of the Lord, to trust him completely, and to realize that you can have confidence, not because of who you are and how well you're doing, but despite all your weaknesses, because you have laid hold of a strong one who is faithful, who will establish you and keep you from evil. One encouragement that we can cast the whole of our salvation on Christ. He's not just one who delivers us from guilt. He completely saves. And what a reason to entrust your soul to him if you have not done so already. I could never keep it up. Of course you could never keep it up. But without him you shall be lost. But as you go to him, as you look to him to save you, you can have confidence that if he begins the work, he'll finish the work. When he saves, he keeps forever. Because the Lord is faithful, and he shall establish you and keep you from evil. Let us pray. Our Lord and God, bless thy truth to us. Help us to take it to heart. Help us to rejoice that thou art ever faithful. We are so unfaithful. We are so weak and changeable. But Lord, we rejoice thou art not like that. May we be strengthened and encouraged in thy strength. And do thou protect us and keep us day by day. Help us, we pray, for Jesus.